"Aguamala," the man said. "You whore." From where he swung lightly against his oars, he looked down into the water and saw the tiny fish that were colored like the trailing filaments and swam between them and under the small shade the bubble made as it drifted. They were immune to its poison, but men were not, and when some of the filaments would catch on a line and rest there slimy and purple while the old man was working a fish, he would have welts and sores on his arms and hands of the sort that poison ivy or poison oak can give. But these poisonings from the Aguamala came quickly and struck like a whiplash. The iridescent bubbles were beautiful, but they were the falsest thing in the sea, and the old man loved to see the big sea turtles eating them. The turtles saw them, approached them from the front, then shut their eyes so they were completely carapaced and ate them, filaments and all. The old man loved to see the turtles eat them, and he loved to walk on them on the beach after a storm and hear them pop when he stepped on them with the horny soles of his feet. He loved green turtles and hawkbills with their elegance and speed and their great value, and he had a friendly contempt for the huge, stupid loggerheads, yellow in their armor-plating, strange in their love-making, and happily eating the Portuguese men of war with their eyes shut. He had no mysticism about turtles, although he had gone in turtle boats for many years. He was sorry for them all, even the great trunkbacks that were as long as the skiff and weighed a ton. Most people are heartless about turtles, because a turtle's heart will beat for hours after he has been cut up and butchered. But, the old man thought, I have such a heart too, and my feet and hands are like theirs. He ate the white eggs to give himself strength. He ate them all through May to be strong in September and October for the truly big fish. He also drank a cup of shark liver oil each day from the big drum in the shack where many of the fishermen kept their gear. It was there for all fishermen who wanted it. Most fishermen hated the taste, but it was no worse than getting up at the hours that they rose, and it was very good against all colds and grips, and it was good for the eyes. Now the old man looked up and saw that the bird was circling again. "He's found fish," he said aloud. No flying fish broke the surface, and there was no scattering of bait fish. But as the old man watched, a small tuna rose in the air, turned, and dropped headfirst into the water. The tuna shone silver in the sun, and after he had dropped back into the water, another and another rose, and they were jumping in all directions, churning the water and leaping in long jumps after the bait. They were circling it and driving it. "If they don't travel too fast, I will get into them," the old man thought, and he watched the school working the water white, and the bird now dropping and dipping into the baitfish that were forced to the surface in their panic.